This is the Council Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Vix, and we are back for the season premiere. We are going to talk about the start of the new year. We're going to talk about what to expect, especially with this new variant that's going around. Are we going back virtual? Are we going back hybrid? I don't know. We're also going to talk to three counselors that are brand new to the profession, see what their goals are, so forth and so on. We're going to get a debate, which is a better HBCU, Lane College, or Poor Valley. We already know the answer to that. We're going to have our housekeeping items and, of course, my final thoughts on mental health and athletes. So we are going to start the show on right, and you know what that means. Let's go. So we are about to embrace a new era in education. 21-22 school year is upon us for a lot of districts. Some places are starting later on this month. Some places, I lived in Virginia for a few years. They started the day after Labor Day, which makes sense. But that's neither here nor there. The one difference is COVID-19 is still here. It's not going on anywhere because people are not conforming to making sure they're protecting all people. Like I said last year on this show when we went through COVID, this is something that's not going away. And it frustrated me because I'm a person that likes to interact with my students, talk to them, get to know them, be around them, just pop in the classroom, just to pop in and be nosy. And I think that's the best way to build a relationship with kids so they can know who you are. And these kids really don't know me because in my building, 80% of our kids were at home last year, and I cannot blame them. My kids were at home last year. It was just scary knowing that the kids are home basically trying to teach themselves. Parents were doing their best trying to help teach these kids and help push them through online learning because they're learning just like they were. And it was just a bad year for everybody. So there's some successes. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it was all bad. But there were things with the pandemic that pushed us to do different things, the way we do things differently, excuse me, than the way we did as counselors. So for me, for one thing, my previous school, we did a lot of stuff in person, bring people in so the kids can actually see them and meet these people, build an early relationship, like with high school day. My previous school, Appleton Middle School, we did, co-counselor at that time, Dr. Turner, did high school day. Now we invite all the high schools in our district to visit our school to show the different pathways that they offer. When she retired and a new principal, Dr. Griffin Stewart, came in, she wanted to do Northeast Day to try to make sure we keep our kids in our zone to build their enrollment up. And we showed all the things that Northeast did. Now, the same thing with our school. We do that with, we're going to call it Registration Week. I'm not giving away any trade secrets or nothing, but what we're doing is we'll make sure we get these kids in the building to show them, get the kids at the physical high school, of course, have the counselors come and visit us and talk about the different, have them see the different pathways that are offered or different options they could do. They could do two-way enrollment with their career center, with I think it's Advanced Academy of Advanced Studies. My school I'm at, the COVID put a stop to that last year. So basically I had to make sure I push the U-Science a whole lot, which is tough to do because the way U-Science is set up, you know, if any of y'all that's out there that's familiar with U-Science, it's a very good program. It's very in-depth, detailed, very, it narrows down where your career is based on your answers to the aptitude test. All the problem is when you have acreages doing it, they get tired after like section two or three. So hopefully they'll figure out a way to narrow that down some, so that way it won't be cumbersome to teachers, because we have teachers, we help our teachers facilitate and I will monitor what's done. So I think it was just the weight of kids being in front of the computer all day, then they have to do an assessment that's not even for a grade to do it. So that's going to be a challenge for this upcoming school year for me, making sure students are following requirements for Bridgeville requirements for Georgia. And we just got to come up with some creative ways, and there also got to be some concessions on how cumbersome the aptitude test is. Either shorten the test or come up with a new aptitude that's going to be more reflective of your grade level scholars. Another thing that we didn't do a career day last year. It wouldn't have been beneficial. But what I did was last year, I did eighth grade college fair. When like you had all the colleges at one time, what I did was I assigned a classroom with college, and I had those classes do a virtual visit with those colleges, except for FAMU, where I had the whole eighth grade actually to visit with FAMU. You probably think, hey, you went to Fort Valley State. Well, my principal is a Rattler, and one of the APs is a Rattler. Our new counselor that we just got hired, it was a Rattler. There are five more Rattlers in the building that are teachers. So I'm around a bunch of Rattlers. So it's all in fun and games and love, but HBCUs, we're gonna go hard for them. And if somebody mess with them, we're gonna strike back. Only people that could talk about HBCUs is us that went to HBCUs. But I digress. Doing virtual college tours, it was a lot easier than I thought it was. You make sure you get the college that can do it. You set up an appointment for them to come in. They send you the link. You set it up. Give it to the teacher. They do all the talking. They talk about dual enrollment, admissions, campus life, grades, different programs, so forth and so on. And it was very informative. What I also did was, too, I found a couple of virtual tours for students to take, and I left the three question quiz, like open ended, like two open ended questions and a multiple choice question for some students to answer, just to get an experience. I think it was with Clark Atlanta. So it was different for me because I'm, like I said, a little get bringing in people, scheduling something, have them actually see them and meet these people, because they're gonna eventually see these people eventually. And that was one of the hardest things for me this past year during the pandemic, is not having enough contact with my students, as far as the ones that were there. I mean, ones that were not there, because it was too difficult because they weren't answering their phone or they were not logging in, but they were logging and leaving, that type of stuff. So just putting eyes on students, just making sure that they're academically and social emotionally well. So that's one thing that was a challenge last year. But this year, we're going to be full force in person. And we hopefully be a lot better this year. Hope people that are out there in the community are going to get this vaccine. But I'm not pushing for the vaccine. I'm not telling you not to take it. But I do know that if the mumps, measles, and rubella was required for us to go to school, and to keep you safe and keep an outbreak from your family and your neighborhoods when you're growing up, it's the same thing. That's one thing I'm fearing is that's different from last year. Second thing is, this is my third year at my school, but my second full year, if you catch what I'm saying. I came in the middle of the year, but I came right before a pandemic. Then my first full year in the building was during a pandemic. Now it's my first full year after the major brunt of a pandemic, and we're still in it. So I'm gonna have to still try to navigate that as a counselor in my sixth year. So this is something that's new to me as well. So I just can't wait to see this journey I'm taking this year. It's a challenge upon myself. I know I'm gonna do my best and make sure my scholars are ready in all phases of the ASCA model. And if I'm gonna die trying to make sure that they be ready. Now, we're gonna be right back with we got Yesence, Melissa, and Bernice. Three new counselors, brand new counselors that have been hired this year. We're gonna follow their journey as counselors. And we're going to talk to them about some things and how they feel going into their first year as a counselor. We'll be right back. All right, we're here on the Counselor Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Biggs. This is the season premiere of the podcast, and we're going to do something a little bit different this year. We're going to bring in some counselors that's going to be their first year, and we're going to see how they feel right now and see how they really feel in May. So if you hear bubbly voices right now, you'll hear the difference in May. It's our tired, cranky. So we'll see how they're gonna work out for them in May. We have Yesence Lewis. We have Bernice Jones. I'm saving Melissa for last because I'm Melissa Gohungu.
Yes, perfect.
Got it right. Yes. I hope I ain't messing up. How are y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Doing pretty good.
Doing good.
All right, this is what we're gonna do. We've got a few questions I'm gonna ask you. I already put it in the chat box as y'all see it. I'm gonna start with Bernice, then Melissa, the Yesence. I want y'all to give me your name, grade level, the college you matriculated at, and we'll go from there. I'm gonna start with Bernice.
All right. My name is Bernice Jones. I have grade levels 3 through 12. You mean the college that I graduated from?
Yes.
Okay. I graduated from the Lane College in Jackson, Tennessee, the number one HBCU in the world. The biggest fear that I have is failing. My biggest goal is to rock out my first year with 3 through 12, because it's a lot. The location is Collierville, Tennessee. Have you started pre-planning? Yes. We actually physically started officially Monday, but I started probably 3 weeks ago, and that was probably 2 weeks after I got the call from HR that I actually received the position. So I started immediately just reaching out to other counselors that has been in the game for some years, just giving some, getting some notes and kind of, pre-doing some things just so I can come in with something. Have your staff taken in, like, your family? Yes, the staff is actually different than the school district that I'm used to. Everybody is so just happy to see you, happy to be there. They like to share things. They're not holding off on things, saying that, oh, I don't have that, I can't help you. Like, I've received a lot of information, a lot of resources from just people within the district and other counselors at other schools. So I have felt, you know, like they were here to help me. I don't feel like a black sheep at all. ASCA in Austin, I want to go. I missed this year, even though it was virtual and in person. I really did want to go, but I am shooting for Austin. So as of right now, I don't know, but I want to go.
Before we get to Melissa, we need to talk about Lane College, first of all. We need to talk about this. I'm gonna cut my camera off so you can see something.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. What's the problem? I said what I said.
The Fort Valley State. You know, the.
But team. You know, we all show love though. HBCU, yeah. Oh, yeah, we all do. Together.
We don't want to crack on each other. We don't want to crack on each other.
Yeah, we do. We do. But at the same time, it's like, don't come for us though. You come for one, you come for all of us.
Come for all 511 of us.
Right.
All right. All right, Melissa, give us your rundown, your elevated speech of everything.
Okay. So my name is Melissa Gohungu. I'm going to be a middle school counselor. So that's grades 6 through 8. I went to California State Long Beach in Long Beach, California. Go Beach. I think my biggest fear, or I guess something that I'm nervous about, is just you know, interacting with, I think this, like, a staff and just dynamics of teachers to counselors. I'm luckily have a really great opportunity. So LAUSD or Los Angeles Unified, with the advocacy of teachers, students, parents, counselors, invested $15 million in Black school counselors, or as a Black student achievement plan for the Black students in the district. So just being kind of like a presence in the school is powerful for students. So just like the dynamics of that. I think one of my biggest goals is just being able to do groups. Like I really want to carry out and fully implement group counseling that's data driven and shows results. So I think that's one thing that I'm really pushing for. My location is going to be in San Pedro, California, which is in LA County. I have started pre-planning. I think one of the main things I've done is I created an intro needs assessment just to say like a hello and get information from students like immediately. So that's the first thing that I want to do. And just like a just little info things about me, like meet the counselor kind of flyers, just things that I can do without, because I haven't actually started. So I don't want to do too much without knowing, you know, what they have in store. Has your staff taken you in, like family? I feel like a Black sheep. No, I think I've been saying this to everyone, like even in the interview that I had, it just felt, I always thought that I was gonna be a high school counselor. I worked in high schools. I was a college advisor in a high school. But during that interview, I just felt like it was very warm. It was very, what's the word? Just like exciting and like, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities that are going to be happening because of this new initiative and just being in a team that it's excited to actually implement stuff and do things a little bit differently. So I definitely feel positivity from my future school. And then finally, Aska and Austin. I'm not sure. I know, you know, there was like a post about the kind of like legislative changes that have been happening in Texas. And so I don't know if it's even going to happen in Texas, if that changes, but we'll see. Hopefully if they have a virtual option, because I am in California, it is a little bit of ways away. So we'll see. But yeah, that's me.
All right, Ms. Lewis, go ahead and tell us your story.
My name is Yusuf Lewis. I will be a high school counselor, and we're split by last name, so I'll have all grades, 9 through 12. I graduated from the University of Carolina, Columbia. I did both my undergrad and my EDS there, so I was in Columbia a long time. My biggest fear, I guess, is not being able to prove to my hiring staff that they made a good choice. We're very confident in the choice with me, so I want to be able to affirm that with them, that they really make the right choice with me. My biggest goal with being a new counselor and new to the school, new to this area, I just want to make a name for myself in a positive way, so the students and staff know Ms. is for you. Go to Ms. Lewis. She's reliable. She'll help you for whatever you need. That's definitely my biggest goal right now. I am in Greenville, South Carolina, June 2nd, this past weekend, so I'm still unboxing, getting settled here. But so far, I like it. I started planning. I don't officially start until next week. We have like orientation and training. So I started planning with the team, but for myself, I know what it is I want to bring to my team, as in doing a needs assessment and going to do large, small groups, the organization can form. So I have ideas in my head, but nothing that has been started officially due to me not being started yet. family, I definitely feel like they have taken me in as family already. Ever since I was hired, from the director to the principal to other counselors to our director of counseling, calling me, texting me, checking on me. Do you need anything? Do you have any questions? It's been very consistent ever since I was hired in me. So I feel like I'm already a part of family, even though none of them have met me physically since everything that we did, the interview. So I'm excited to finally meet them in person. And my last one, asking Austin, everything is good to go, COVID and everything's allowed, I definitely want to go. I'm very big on traveling, which I could have went to Vegas and see. But as of right now, long as I definitely plan to go to Austin.
Let me tell you, anyone wanted to go to Vegas, it was 117 degrees when we got to the airport. I was through. So,
Never mind. Maybe that was a good thing I did.
So it was averaging about 115 every day, and I literally did not go nowhere except to the conference and home.
Yikes.
So, well, a couple follow-ups on this. I'm gonna start Melissa, then yes, then Bernice. I'm gonna ask y'all this. What was the one question in your interview that kind of had you thinking like, oh Lord, what I got myself into?
You mean like an interview question that kind of like stumped me? I think it was like at the very, very end. And then someone asked, say you get hired and it's your first day, and what is the first thing that you do? And I think it all went back, and it kind of made, that's the reason why I created my needs assessment early. It's like, that's the first thing that I said, but it was just something of like just being able to really imagine myself at the school, like, this isn't real. I'm not in grad school anymore. This is my job, you know? But it was a powerful question. I'm glad I asked it. I'm glad that I was able to answer it. But it was like a tripping up question, but also like an affirming question too, that I was able to answer, and I got to get, you know, what I wanted out of it.
All right, Ms. Lewis.
The one question that really tripped me up, I can't exactly remember how it was asked, but I know I had asked twice for it to be said to me, so I can like really think about it. But I was the one that did remember that slightly tripped me up, but thankfully I had experience in it, was one of their counselors asked me like how I would implement with special ed students, and he was like, special ed is very important to me, so I want to make sure that, you know, you have experience working them. And at first I was like, oh gosh, like I've taken one class with special ed, but thankfully in my internship one of my groups was run in a resource classroom, so I was able to use that experience as my knowledge of how to handle different behaviors in one setting. So I wasn't prepared for that question because none of my other interviews asked that. But I was thankful for my internship experience to help me be able to use that.
And Lane College, what you got for us?
It's the Lane College. Put that face on their name. Okay.
I'm sorry, lowercase the Lane College. Go ahead.
So the question that I had was, what are my expectations for the first 30 days of the job, which I was not expecting at all. So I just kind of like laid out some things that I wanted to do as far as having a theme for the first month. Having the meet the teacher night, the orientation and all of that, and doing some things virtually for people, for parents who are, you know, who can't come on those days and times and things like that. And so that was, and I interviewed a lot, but that was one of the questions of the job that I did get. They asked me and I was not prepared. I was just like, first 30 days, I've never, you know, haven't really thought about it. But when I really did think about it, those are some things that I wanted to do. So I was just really being realistic with it, not telling them something just to try to get the job. Those are some things that are actually on my list in the first 30 days to get done with. So it worked out. So that was one of the questions.
Now, for Melissa's question, I can tell you what you should have said was, I want to get to know the custodians and the cafeteria staff. I'm going to tell you why. Custodians will be moving a whole lot of stuff to your office. And if you ain't got no money that day for lunch, it's the middle of the month and you ain't got paid yet, the cafeteria get an extra piece of chicken. So for all y'all, those are two people you need, the two groups of people you need to get to know. I know from experience, custodians moved a sofa for me from one part of the building that was upstairs all the way downstairs to another part of the building that we ain't connected to the school for me, because the relationship I built with them. The cafeteria staff, you know, I didn't have the money. I'm like, oh, go ahead, get something to eat. Get paid back later. Of course, they never let me pay me back. But yeah, I get about 8 pieces of chicken, 30 fries, 3 cups of tea. So I'm telling you, those two relationships, your first 30 days, definitely build with the custodians and the nutrition staff, because you're hungry, it's the 23rd, and you don't get paid to the 31st. I know cafeteria food ain't all that great, but it's going to come in clutch that day. It's going to be the best food you ever ate in your life. Just being real. All right, one more question, though, get y'all out of here. And I know we're going to come back in May and discuss how was your year, but I'm going to ask this one question. I don't want you to fear the question. What's one duty you're kind of scared of doing that you weren't expecting that you didn't get taught in college? Like, for instance, MTSS, RTI, 504, PBIS, code, so forth and so on. Which duty are you scared to take on that you weren't prepared for in college? Because, of course, programs are introduced to you, and you don't get experience with it unless you had it in your internship. But which one you think you're going to be afraid of? Me, it was PBIS and 504. So that was death for me. I'm gonna start with yeses on this one.
I think attacks that I'm maybe a little afraid of really is, it might sound dumb, but like getting relied on for recommendations in high school, recommendation letters. Knowing everything about SAT, ACT, different requirements. I know I'll learn all that, but I think that's just my biggest fear, because I know that kids are going to rely on me for this to get to their level. So I'm always going to be paying myself to learn it, but that's my biggest fear, because I know that's what they're relying on me for. Well, part of what they're relying on me for.
All right, Ms. Jones.
I want to say leading an IEP meeting, because in my program we talked about what IEP was, but we didn't talk about, like, how do you lead it? What are the people, who are the people that needs to be in the meeting? What does it look like? What are you saying? Does the child a part of it? I know the parent. What does it look like? Or how do you schedule that? How you get that together? Like, we talked about, like, physically what an IEP is, you know, what the significance of it and all that, but they didn't tell us how to actually conduct a meeting. So I think that's one of my, I won't say just fear, I'm just kind of nervous about it, because I want to make sure that I'm doing it right. But that's when you have those old head counselors come in and tell you, this is how you set it up, this is how you schedule it, these are the people that you invite in the meetings, and this is what it looks like. But that's one of the things that's kind of like, I guess you would say, my fear.
All right, I'll give you a heads up. You already know we ain't supposed to be doing IEP meetings.
But yes, I know that. But so, it was told to me that I may be doing those. And I'm just like, you know what? I didn't know that.
So now you need to track your time now. And because that will count as non-school counseling task. And if you have, let's say, friends, they give you a specific, your 3 through 12, and let's say you do, I'm just going to know, IEP meeting could take anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half, just depending on the accommodations, the depth, who you invite, because you know all at least two content teachers, the parent, the student, psychologist, you, and a grade level administrator at minimum should be there. So that's one of the things that you have to look at. Counselor, we might be there, but that's what we're doing, like, you know, individual sessions with the student or they're in groups, we advocate, but you need to definitely track your time this year if you're doing all those meetings. That way next year you could probably get somebody to come in as a PEC lead or someone that's a PEC teacher there and take the lead and be supervising over the your co-teachers and resource teachers or whatever. So that way that'd be one less duty to take off, because you have to do, let's say you do you do 4 months for 10 months, and they're all an hour and a half. That's almost like that's about 2 weeks away from your kids, basically, dealing with something that could be done by that's supposed to be done by the IEP teacher anyway, because they're the ones that had the direct contact. But track your time anyway on that. And okay. Miss Melissa, what you got?
I think for me, this is a hard question because I'm not just trying to hype up my field work. Like, she really, really gave me a lot of experience. I think because it was a really small school, I'm transitioning into like a larger number of student school. Maybe just SST meetings, like putting those together and creating like data-driven supports for students, just making sure that, you know, what we put in place and what we're doing is beneficial for the student, for the parent, for everyone involved. I think that would be like definitely a learning process.
Yeah, same thing with you, track your time, document, use those teachers because they're the ones actually should be progress monitoring because they're in the class.
Yeah.
And basically, this is what I do to sound lazy, but I have them create the formula for it because they're the ones that's actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And then just let them lead the meeting. You're just facilitating it and hosting it. Let them talk through the meeting because they're the ones that's giving progress monitoring and the student data and the areas of proof and stuff. Don't put all that pressure on you because think about it. I had my internship counselor, she did RTI and I watched her on Fridays. All she did was write RTIs and met with parents during the week. I'm like, how? There's no way. Friday, you could be doing a whole lot of different stuff on Fridays. But Steve, this is what I got to do, man. I got a hole in the road, man. I'm like, I get it. But that's my previous county. But look at the school, my previous county, when I got hired, I didn't have to do NTSS. I just had to do 504, and I was the PBIS coach. And it wasn't that bad. So my new building, I don't do none of that stuff. So because they believe that counselors need to be counselors, administrators, because they're the ones that can make sure these IPs and 504s are implemented. MTSS, you got to. Teachers should be leading the MTSS or the SST process because they all collaborate anyway. So mm-hmm. that's something that you could possibly bring to your building. Just see that works. That's a part of being a PLC, a professional learning community. So that's one thing we also do, learn more about PLC. So that way you can implement it so that could be less duties for y'all. So, you know, that's a little tip. That's a little TED talk right there from the Fort Valley State University. And got Lane on the. Ladies, I want to thank you for hopping on. Congratulations, first of all. I can't wait to see how your journey is for this year. And I hope you still sound happy May 31st. Because if you don't, I'm going to talk about you. I appreciate y'all coming on this evening. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Ain't no problem. We'll be right back. More Council Connection right after this. This is the part of the show where I do my housekeeping items. As such, you can follow me on the Twitter. That will be @FadeThePSC. You can follow me on Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Breaker, and of course, Apple Podcasts. Why am I talking slow? Because I talk too fast. Coming up on the next few episodes, we are going to have three college students talking about their experience in college and their relationship with their high school counselors and some of their relationship with their college counselors. We're going to have Steve Zarakis back on. Also, we're going to have three guys, Brian, Steve, and John, back again. So we're going to chop it up with them. Hopefully, they'll play Mortal Kombat. We might do a live Facebook Live and have somebody's live account and play Mortal Kombat somewhere because we need to get some resolution on that. Still working on trying to get Ms. Yarber, Michelle Yarber from Bibb County, the 21-22 School Council of the Year. And some other guests, and what we really want administrators and district personnel that listen to the podcast to jump on the show. I really want to have you on to talk about your relationship with your counselors and how has the role changed and evolved over the last 15 years. Now you're going to go 20, that's 15, 10 to 15 years, how the role has changed. COVID, how has it changed education? Has it changed forever? So forth and so on. A lot of things I want to discuss with you and talk to you guys, and hopefully we will be very informative in what we do. We're at my final thoughts, or my fave's final thought. I'm thinking about my other podcast I do about, say, parting shots, but it's not a parting shot, it's a final thought. I'm gonna talk about mental health. Be right back. Faye's final thought. So, people are big mad at Simone Biles for pulling herself out of the team competition and an individual all around. And I don't care less what other people think. Now let's look at the story behind why she pulled us up out those events this week. She said she was at practice. She had a good practice, but her mind wasn't there. She said, that's not right. I'm gonna have to let my girls take it home. I just can't do it. And she didn't. Now, we're not gonna blame her leaving for why the rest of the Team USA didn't win. Russia was just better. Let's just call it what it is. But we have to look at the mental health of all people, especially athletes, because think of this pressure they've been under their whole lives. I'm going to get to Michael Jordan and Kyrie in a minute, because I saw something on Facebook with Kyrie. But let's go back 10, let's go back 8 to 10 years in Simone Biles' life. As you hear me typing, I'm gonna get her correct age because I don't want to misage her. She is 24 years old. She is just turned 24 back in March. She is 4'8". She's one of the baddest 4'8" people I've seen as far as in the gym, as far as what she can do and the things she can do. But when you look at, you go back 10 to 12 years when she started her Olympic journey with Team USA. Who was on that team? I'm not talking about the teammates or the coach. I'm talking about Larry Nassar. So, if y'all don't know who Larry Nassar is, he's a doctor that was with Team USA who was sexually assaulting and molesting our Olympic gymnasts for years, as well as athletes at Michigan State. So she went through the trauma of dealing with that and went forward for all these years. But yet she is the most decorated gymnast in our history. And folks are not realizing that with her. It is not just because of one day she just, her mind wasn't there. This has been at least 10 years in the making for something like this to happen. If we go back 8 years, this happened 8 years ago with her. When we look at what she did impossible, something somebody couldn't do. And 8 years ago, a coach had to pull her out of an event for her mental health. So this has been something that's been here for 10 to 12 years with her. And folks don't realize she's just a gymnast. She's just jumping up and down. So think about it. If I'm doing the pole vault, not the pole vault, if I'm doing the vault, or I'm doing the horse, or I'm doing the uneven bars, or I'm doing the floor routine, what if my head is not right and I'm about to. Now I'm on the. Let's say I'm on the uneven bars, and my mind goes somewhere else to take me to a place that I'm afraid to go to. And I'm going from one bar, the lower end of the parallel bar, to the higher end, and my mind just go away for just a split second. I'm breaking my neck. Think about what the gymnasts have to think when they're doing these moves, their routines. It takes a great deal of bravery, strength, courage, and mental fortitude just to even think about doing the things that they're doing. But yet, we're clowning them for being scared or having anxiety, which Simone described. She just had an anxiety attack, pretty much. And we can't fault her for that. Anybody can have it. Now let's go to Michael Jordan. Matter of fact, let me back up. We'll go to Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's a little bit different. So some people are saying, well, Kyrie, nobody get Kyrie. Well, of course then Kyrie went away for 2 weeks. But the thing is, though, if you're taking multiple breaks, though, I'm not saying he's not going to a sports psychologist or a therapist in his own time, but there's something deeper that's going on with him. And I'm all for making sure you're right. There's something deeper going on with Kyrie for him to take two mental health breaks within a 2-3 month period. There's something deeper with that. So hopefully we'll learn more about that with him. But he's more on the tip of any reservations and all this other stuff, which I commend him for. But there's something deeper going on. Now, everybody gonna say Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan want to play baseball. Michael Jordan really didn't want to play baseball. His dad wanted him to play baseball. Michael Jordan quit basketball because his dad died a week after he won the championship. And he was grieving. And he was burnt out. Think about it. This man endured the Bad Boys for 3-4 years before he could win his first championship. Then wins another championship. Then wins the third championship. Then a week or two later, his dad is murdered. And a couple weeks later, he retired from basketball. I still think he was suspended. Under the table suspension for gambling during the playoffs in 93. That was debunked by David Stern during The Last Dance. So I have to go with that. Do not read into but Jordan just wanted to try to conquer baseball. Jordan's trying to live a dream for his dad who wanted him to play baseball. And Jordan lost his dad. Think about the toll and the grief it took on him when he's going on long road trips with his with the Barons. I think it was a White Sox double-A affiliate. I think it's the Birmingham Barons. For somebody to deal with their dad getting murdered, grafting when to find somebody that's been there for you, part of a two-parent household that took care of you and your brothers and your sister and your mom and your family for years, who's been there for you, supported you in everything you do, and gets cold stone murdered after your greatest triumph in your life. The first team to the three-peat since the Celtics in the 60s, 70s. And you lose that right then and there. It wasn't about baseball when Michael Jordan quit. It was about his mental health because he just couldn't take it anymore. There's pressure and he was tired and he was burnt out. And you added the death of a father on top of that. It wasn't just about baseball. We can talk about DeMar DeRozan, Paul George, Kevin Love. You can even talk about be honest with you, LeBron James in 2011. What I'm saying is, all these, don't look at these athletes just because they make $170 million over 5 years that their life is PG Keen. It's not. Their life is just as complicated as ours. They just have more money. And they have a, and they're scared to cope with it just like us. I'm African American counselor. Our community is, doesn't talk about going to therapy, get well, because it's taboo. Little Johnny did a little crazy. He'd be all right. He just talking crazy. No, Johnny got paranoid schizophrenia and he need to get some medicine. Only Bobby no, he just like to run around. No, Bobby got ADHD. He brain wired differently. He just looks at things differently. There's nothing wrong, I'm saying this to anybody, not just my black people. There's nothing wrong with going to therapy. There's nothing wrong with talking to somebody about the issue, because it's better to talk to somebody about your issues than to talk to Henny, Crown, or Jack, or Jim. Because that's more dangerous than not talking to anybody. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. I want to thank my guests for coming on for an excellent season premiere, and I'm out. Thank you.